Let me pray. Our loving Father, thank you for this opportunity this morning to gather. We ask, Lord, that you would help us as we hear. Help me as I speak, and help us together to hear your voice. And may that voice do as you promised it would do, and continue to change us deeply from within, more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus. We pray this in his great name. Amen. It's said that a person can live for about 3 weeks without food, about 3 days without water, maximum 8 minutes without breathing, but not even a second without hope. Where there is no hope, there's no life. You might have existence, and you might have the rigmarole and ins and outs and things of your day, but without hope, it's all empty, isn't it? Christians can get low on hope, and when they get low on hope, they just go through the motions. I wonder if you're low on hope. This time of year, as we've mentioned already, is called Advent. It is the beginning of the Christian year. So happy New Year, everyone. It's the time in the church calendar when we focus our memory on the first Advent, or Advent means arrival, the first arrival of the Lord Jesus, but it's also the time we recall the second arrival of the Lord Jesus when he returns to judge the living and the dead. And Advent, this period, this 4 weeks, reminds us that we have not arrived. We are looking forward to his return, and so we live in between the two advents of Jesus. We live in between his first coming and his second coming. And that being the case, we must be marked by hope. So before the first coming, the first arrival, the promised arrival of the Lord Jesus, there were men and women of hope. They believed. And they're marked out in Scripture. These guys are the good guys. They're not good, but what they're doing is good. Hoping in God. So Mary is one of those people. But what does it look like to be marked with hope? Because if they were marked by hope, we ought to be even more marked by hope, because we have so much more to trust in. What does it look like to be marked by hope? What should we do if we're low on hope? I'd just like to focus on one verse today. It's Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. It says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." I wonder if you got that first bit there. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. Everything. Paul would have had a particular reference then to the Old Testament Scriptures. He is saying everything that happened to Israel was for the benefit of those like you and me. Everything. And everything was written down for your benefit and for my benefit. That's your book that you hold or that you have in front of you. It's for you. everything that happened to Nehemiah had us in mind. Everything that happened to Obadiah had us in mind. Everything in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Judges, Ruth, 1, 2, Samuel, 1, 2, Kings, 1, 2, Chronicles, all of them had you in mind for yours and my instruction. Did you get that? The scriptures are for us. The stories, the teaching is profoundly relevant to our everyday. And these scriptures are the source of our hope. So not to engage in them is like deciding not to eat. Well, friends, you've got about 3 weeks. Some of you a bit less. It's like deciding not to drink. You've got about 3 days. On a day like this, you've probably got 1 day. It's like deciding not to breathe, to not engage with the scriptures. And look closely. The written word alone, it says there, is the source of endurance and encouragement. Sometimes I see believers, they seem to be going through all the motions. They seem to be doing everything right, but they just don't seem switched on. Have you ever noticed that? You think, well, this person just, they're doing everything that everyone else, they're just not clicked, though. I don't know, have you ever noticed that? I wonder if that's you. Have you clicked about what this whole deal is about? And friends, I've seen some of you, yes, maybe going through the motions, but then switch on. And you know when you switch on? You switch on when the time that you switch on is directly related to your engagement with Scripture. Directly related. There's no other way to switch on, to get it, to click, to go, ah, I see, other than the engagement with the Scriptures, the written word. I was listening to a program this week on 702. It was about the Parthenon marbles, the marble sculptures. They're not marbles that they played with, round marbles. And there was a period a couple hundred years ago when they were taken from Greece to England. There's a whole story about it, and this intrigue and all these sorts of things. Should it have happened? There was heated debate about whether they ought to be returned or not. You know, did the guy who took them in the beginning, did he do it properly, or did he end up really stealing them, or all that sort of stuff? Although there was heated debate about whether they should be returned or not, what everyone absolutely agreed on was that they were extremely precious relics, both to Greece and to England, because of the story they tell. Oh, there's a lot of things in our world that are precious relics. But Archbishop Thomas Cranmer, who you could sort of say kicked off the Anglican Church, got it going, he said this: of all the relics on the earth, this book, which is the Word of God, the most precious jewel, the most holy relic that remains upon the earth. And that's why he wrote that prayer to be prayed today at the beginning of the church year, every single year. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience, endurance, Romans chapter 15, verse 4, and comfort, encouragement, Romans chapter 15, verse 4, this is what he was reading, of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. He is saying what is most important in the year ahead is that you endure, and endurance that is patient, forward focused thinking about the promises of Jesus' second advent will only be gained through the scripture. It's the only place that will fill you with hope. Without the scripture, you will not endure. Encouragement. You could say that the Holy Spirit will not be speaking to you unless you read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the Holy Scriptures. Now, don't miss what this is saying. It's saying more than, here are some stories about people who have endured to encourage you. It's saying that, but it's saying more than that. You know, you might read an inspiring story of someone who climbed a great mountain and made it and came all the way back down. And as you read it, you think, well, I can walk up my hill or whatever it might be. Each day I can do that because he did it or she did it. And there's inspiring stories, and those inspiring stories are good and they're encouraging. But the Bible is more than that. It's not just an inspiring story, it is inspired. It is saying that the word does not only tell us what to do, but it does it in us. Did you get that? It not only informs us, but it enables us to do what it calls us to do. Did you get that? It's a living word that grips us, it focuses us forward, and it strengthens hope. So Paul doesn't say, way back there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he doesn't say this, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is about the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. He doesn't say that. He says this, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. This word is not about God, it is God's word. It's Him speaking. And so if we close our ears to it, or if we do not engage with it, then we're saying, I don't want to hear you, God. And you could do that in a very religious way. You could come to church every single week and be on the roster and do all sorts of things. But unless you engage with the word of God, in actual fact, you're saying, God, I do not want to listen to you. Read, mark, learn, inwardly digest. And friends, I want to say, I have seen this in you. I have seen this at people at 10 o'clock. I have seen this people at 6 o'clock. I've seen this all throughout my ministry. Seeing people have happened. They become suddenly click with the word of God. Ah, everything changes. But at some level, nothing changes. They still do all the same things. Still come to church, still sit there, still be on the roster, still help out. But there's a difference. They've clicked. Have you clicked? And the word encouragement we think of sort of a pat on the back. Come on, brother. Keep going. Chin up, sister. You can do it. And that's encouragement, but here the word is much more than that. It's not the usual word for encouragement. It is a much stronger word. It is actually a combination of the word of God's call and of the word used for the Holy Spirit, paraclete. It's these together. It's the word of God is an urgent call to us. Let me say that again. The word of God is an urgent call to us from the one with us. The word of God is speaking to us, but from within us. So as you engage with the word, it's as if inside is speaking, as the Spirit speaks to us. It does not just recommend we have strong faith. It makes our faith strong. No wonder Cranmer prayed, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Saviour Jesus Christ. And this is what we need in this in-between time, hope. And it comes only from the written word. Some people say to me, oh, I'm just not going well. Not going well as a Christian. And sometimes I get the chance to say to them, so how is your Bible reading and prayer going? And almost inevitably they say, well, I haven't done anything. Well, there you go, remedied. Engaging with the scriptures. That's the only source of endurance and encouragement. So if you're not enduring or being encouraged, it's because that's not happening. Friends, do you need to hear this? Do you need to engage with the Word of God? And as I mentioned before, this is the season, beginning of the church season, beginning of the new year. And I suppose what it is being said here is that we don't get to choose our own New Year's resolution. You know, the 1st of January comes and we say, well, this year I resolve to lose weight or gain weight, whatever the case may be. You see, that's a personal thing. But this new year, this church new year, we don't make a resolution of what we will do. We pray that God would help us to read, mark, learn and inwardly digest. That's going to work much better. I don't care how much weight you feel you need to lose or gain. This is what matters. You eat food, it does its work. You drink water, it does its work. You breathe air, it does its work. So read, mark, learn and inwardly digest the word and watch it do its work. Amen.